It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Yeah, and here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. My partner, my buddy, Captain Mike Ward in the studio.
Everything going okay today, Sean?
It's going
all
right.
We're just getting it started. But
it's going, yeah, you'll see. Exactly. Now you sound like me. People say, man, having a good one? I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Get past this. Let's
see where it's going. We'll be brave because in today's show, I'm going to talk to a friend of ours and director of Alabama Marine Resources about a subject that is very big to Mike and I,
yep.
Very important to Mike and I know to the director as well, and that is snapper and going to catch red snapper in the Gulf of Mexico. And you've heard the chatter; it's been on the, it's been on social media, it's been on websites out there. We even just talked about it last week that we knew that there was a discussion going on and a pretty darn important meeting coming up very soon. So let's get the real information, kind of set the stage where we are. Plus, talk about this. If you went and looked at the Outdoor Alabama website we had talked about last week, it said additional chance for snapper fishing this fall.
Right.
So we got to talk more about that. And we're checking in with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. Thanks for being on again.
Well, thanks, guys, and good morning. And I'm glad that I can still be called a friend because potentially some good news coming. It may not have been the same sentiment, a few weeks ago when we closed a little early. So.
Okay, well, you're a friend for the period of time it does to talk about another chance to snapper fish this year. Afterwards, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it may not last long, Scott.
Yeah, no, we do have some good news, and it will come out later today. So tell your listeners to if they're not following us on Facebook or they don't get the announcements from OutdoorAlabama.com, that they should go ahead and sign up
yes.
So that they can get it hot off the press, the same as the rest of the media folks. But we'll make an announcement today talking about a few extra days with an S that we're going to be providing to the Alabama anglers for some red snapper. The final numbers are in through July 3rd. The fishing effort right at the end there on the last weekend and then that July 3rd day was not as high as it had been in previous weekends when it was extremely high. And, well, the effort may have been there, but also the fish weren't biting as well, the typical July doldrums. And then we also go, we do some quality control work on the data. We always do that toward the end of the season. You'll get some things like, somebody punched in 1,000 snapper landed or something like that. That's,
right.
That's an obvious mistake that to use the term, skews the data. So we clean that up. And so we have a little over 100,000 pounds left. And so we're gonna offer an opportunity for that. So that press release will go out after we finish the Conservation Advisory Board today. That's meeting in Mobile. It's an advisory team to the department. And so I think people will be pleased with it. They won't be jumping up and down super excited like, this is, a fix for the days that we lost. But it is it's snapper that we want people to have. We have a quota, and we want to fish that quota.
Okay, you're talking about some of the things there at the end when you have to close to not go over the quota. Is it like stopping a locomotive thing? I mean, you see it coming, and you got to stop because you don't know exactly where it stops. Is that?
You do have to make a little bit of a prediction toward the end, and so that's what that's probably the best analogy is that you're trying to stop that locomotive, and your feet are going to skid a little bit. And
right.
I think that we made the right decision of stopping when we did. Again, trying to make sure that we don't go over. And you're trying to do it based on habits and other things, local knowledge sometimes that plays a little bit into it, and then what the science shows us. And I think I mentioned to you guys before on our peak Saturday we had over 2,000 vessel trips, and when you do the basic math on that, that's just a lot of people going fishing.
And you said before we talked about this, a vessel trip means what? How many anglers?
Somewhere in the 5 or 6 person category on average. So,
wow.
So you're talking, if you have 2,000, let's call it an even number, 2,000, my math's better that way, and you have 5 people, that's 10,000 people. That's 20,000 fish if your average weight is 6 pounds. And on those weekends early on, the average was a little higher. It adds up pretty quick. So it's that's just one day. One day.
Yeah, that's strong.
That day, yeah. I think we actually landed in the neighborhood of 100,000 pounds in one day. And
And what was our total tonnage that we could, our poundage that we could catch?
1.12 million pounds is what we were allocated for the year. Okay.
And so on one of those days, it did about a tenth, well, a little less than a tenth of that.
Yeah, just one day. And I know the next day had to be pretty good.
And it was so if you go to outdooralabama.com, you look at our little we have a weather graphic on there that shows the effort in the weather, and it's it shows that the wave height is really what we use, and so it was good weather. The effort was through the roof, and I mean, it's good. A lot of people got to go take advantage of it that weekend. I use the expression we fished more in that one weekend than Mississippi's quota is for the whole season. And as we're probably going to discuss, that may change next year. And I'm fighting very hard that it doesn't. We want to make sure that we continue to have these good opportunities here in Alabama.
Yeah, I want to. Obviously, we want to get to that because that's the thing that people are waiting to hear more on. But I want to, before we do, somebody going into this discussion, listening to us talk, it's worth everybody starting from the same place and knowing things. You talk about the allocation of tonnage in the Gulf. So for people who haven't been following this, right, the feds, NOAA, they're saying there's X number of available tonnage in the Gulf of Mexico in a given season, right? Here's the whole pond. And then the states, they're divvied out portions of that tonnage. What is that based on? How does Alabama get this, Mississippi get that, Florida get this, Louisiana get that, Texas get that? How was that done?
Sure. So, the entire Gulf of Mexico poundage is divided up first between commercial and rec, 51%, 49%. Then inside the recreational sector, it's divided up between for hire and then private angler is the two legs that we call it.
Charter boats or Sean and Mike.
And federally permitted charter boats. And then so that leaves this tonnage for private anglers. And so under the Amendment 50 is what we call it, through the Gulf Council process and through the federal process of rule changing, we came up with the state management plans where the states wanted the opportunity to choose their seasons, choose their bag limits, some different things that we can do, that we can be allowed to do under the Magnuson-Stevens Act. The one thing that we are not allowed to do right now is develop our own quota. We are still given the fish from the federal government, and then we make a decision on the season and those other portions of the season.
Right. Maybe it's just because I'm hungry for breakfast, but y'all, it's the way I understand this, Scott, that the feds give us the pie. They decide how big this pie is. Now, how we want to cut that pie up and eat it, that's y'all's decision.
Our decision. Yeah. And so the pie was divvied in the Gulf of Mexico under that Amendment 50 through a couple of different ways. We looked at some historical data, the historical landings that were generated from NOAA and what the states had historically done. And some of that was changing over the last few years. Some states were moving higher and some were more level catches. Alabama has 3% of the coastline. You know, we have 56 straight miles of coast. We're the smallest state touching the
smallest coastline in the Gulf. Yeah.
So, we ultimately negotiated 26.2% of the just shy of 26.3% of the private angler catch will come to Alabama. So Florida received the most at just over 40%. So we were second to Florida, and so we felt like
pretty big win if you look coastline per capita fish per coastline mile. That's a win.
It is absolutely a win, and it's a but when we are the state that is to use a term, you know, we like our football. We're very fanatical about that. And fishing, we are extremely fanatical about that as well. And Red Snapper is king of that. So there's a tremendous connection for our Alabama anglers to Red Snapper. So we were pleased with that number. Naturally, everybody always wants a little more. So that percentage this year equated to the 1.12 million pounds, and so that's what we were tasked with dividing it up into the season days. And we used the last couple of seasons while we were under the exempted fishing permit, and we were managing those seasons. We'd been delegated that authority to try and decide what it would look like for this year, and we we predicted 35 days and doing the four-day seasons and 4-day weekends, excuse me. And but with that early season effort, which I do kind of blame COVID a little bit because there were no other outdoor activities,
right.
that people
You're
took
right.
advantage of the opportunity to go fishing. So.
Yeah. Scott, what is the tonnage that Louisiana gets? Do you know offhand?
Off the top of my head, I believe it's around 600,000 pounds or so. It's less than ours. And it takes them longer to catch it. It's not as targeted as it is here because they have, you know, their easy access to the tuna fisheries and some of those other pelagics that come through there and the other HMS species. And so, you know, some of their models are built. And it's hard to access the Gulf in Louisiana. You know, it takes some effort for people to get to the Gulf. Here it's very accessible. Whereas,
right.
you know, trout and redfish over there is through the roof, you know, because
that's right.
what's accessible to them. So,
well, it has been in the past. It's been speckled trout, redfish, tarpon, and then it's billfish and tuna and offshore stuff. That's about the way it's been for years and years. Nobody would ever go over there just to catch amberjack. They thought you was crazy to go catch an amberjack or king mackerel. And snapper, they just didn't fool with the snapper over there. But now, I mean, I've been over there recently, and it's changed. There's a lot more people accessing the snapper than what they have been in the past. And I know that their snapper season is still open. It's open all summer long, every weekend, I think, maybe Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I know Saturday and Sunday for sure.
They run a little bit longer season, and again,
yeah.
They use a their own data tracking system. It is a survey system, but they get weekly results. They do a great job. I think they have a really good program there, and it allows them, you know, to make those in-season adjustments similar to what we do. But what we do see, same as here, is the increased number of boats, just people buying boats, and so more people are accessing all manners of the fishery, you know, whether it's the species you mentioned, whether inshore, offshore.
Yeah.
Effort is creeping up, and it's, you know, as a resource manager, that's one of the things we really have to deal with and figure out how to deal with. It's there are no easy answers in this.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the raise the water, lower the bridge kind of question here, because given our percentage of the catch, we still have to wait on the feds to say how much tonnage is out there. With our, what do you say, 26%?
Yes.
26%. If the tonnage allowable was increased in the Gulf, it would be able to deal probably with the increased, you know, activity,
boats
people going fishing,
yeah.
right? I mean,
that's correct. So, you know, if your stock assessment is the term that we use to say how many, what the state of the stock of whatever fish is. So, in 2021, we'll start a stock assessment for red snapper, and it'll take a view of, you know, the health of that fishery, what the estimate is for the number of tons of fish that are available out there, and so that lends into the management plan, and that's, again, guided through the federal government through the Magnuson-Stevens Act. So we have some really good information potentially some good information getting ready to come out from what we call the Great Red Snapper Count. It was an independent review of the biomass or the amount of fish available in the Gulf of Mexico that was funding was provided by Congress to have an independent study done, and so people from different academic bodies were all involved in this. Our own Dr. Sean Powers from the University of South Alabama was one of the people that was involved in that, and so I have a lot of faith in the people that were working on this independent assessment. The numbers should come out in the near future. I'm hoping that it's going to give us a better view of what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico with red snapper fishing. So, you know, potentially it could tell us it's going the other way. I don't think it is. My gut tells me it's going to show us that the stock is a little stronger than maybe the last assessment told us. But then we'll use that data hopefully to help in the next stock assessment that starts next year.
All right, we're coming back for the break. More of this conversation, because we got to get the not so fun part of this discussion, what may be happening, what's happening in the short term and in 2021, as we continue to talk to Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. All right, back at conversation about Red Snapper here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We've had many of them over the years. We have good news, yeah. We have bad news, and sometimes we have even worse news.
I hope that isn't what we're getting ready to hear.
Well, that's a lead-in that does not set me up for success.
No, I hope it's...
This might be the part they hate you again.
Let's talk about the... remind folks who just joined the show. Talking to Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, you did say, let me lead in with this, this fall, late summer, fall, we're going to have another shot at Fish and Snapper.
Yes, your announcement will come out today, so everybody needs to... stay tuned for that, and we'll give you another opportunity for a couple of days of hopefully some fantastic fishing.
So plural.
Yeah. Yes, with an S.
Okay. Looking forward to that press release.
You said that's going to be Christmas weekend?
Mike would be there.
Yeah.
Mike would be there. You know what? There would be. It could be Christmas morning.
It would not matter.
It don't matter.
I promise you.
You could make that argument somewhere. People say, how much they really want a snapper fish? You could say, well, I could open it up Christmas morning,
yeah,
committee, and we would have anglers out there.
Yeah,
for sure, with their Santa hat on. All right, let's talk about this. Help us understand, because we've been talking for years now about the Snapper app, Outdoor Alabama app, you know, and Snapper Check, and as taking on, as the state, the dividing up of the pie we're given, whatever size that is by the feds, the state's done that because y'all do a better job than the feds, right? And now I'm hearing word out that the feds don't like that.
It's an interesting conundrum that we're in. So we as the states feel like we do a good job with our in-season monitoring, whether it's a reporting system like Alabama and Mississippi have, or their survey systems like the other states use, but they're much tighter controls. They can be much more reactionary. Florida is the one who takes a little more time, but it's still they predict the season and then they do their surveys and they see if they went over and under within the year. You know, it's not next year when you get those numbers. So we feel like we have excellent programs at the state level. So the challenge is now is that the division of the pounds was done in, let's call it dollars. They were done in dollars. And so we had this many million pounds or this many million dollars across the Gulf of Mexico, and it was divided up to each state. Well, then each state has a different survey system than was used to create that initial number. And so the feds say there has to be some calibration or a common currency. We have to exchange our snapper check snapper into what they call the either the CHTS, which is a survey, or an FES, which is another survey on the federal side of the house, into that program, so that you say, okay, if the Fed said, well, you historically caught 3 million pounds a year, but now you're only catching a million, well, then what is that ratio? That's what we're looking at. So they've determined that, or there's some discussion that that we need to use this ratio to prevent overfishing. We think we have a very accurate number. So if you were saying that you gave us a higher number, we're actually catching fewer fish. But if you do this calibration to get us in the, I'm using air quotes, this common currency, there's a discussion that we need to be reduced and that by about 50%. And
what? 50? 50?
50. That our potential quota for next year would be around 550,000 pounds instead of 1.12 million pounds.
That's
a five-day season.
So that's about correct here in Alabama.
Yeah.
So as most of you who know me and as the two of you know me for sure, we are fighting that tooth and nail with every ounce of data that we have. It's not going to happen. That's the way I look at it, is we're not going to stand for this. We have so many folks that fought so hard for us to get to state management from you know, across the Gulf, and Senator Shelby and Congressman Byrne and Senator Wicker and Congressman Graves out of some other states, they all worked very hard with us to come up with the state management plan. So I think that we owe it to them to fight for what we think is right, and that's not right. So we're having some discussions this week at the The Gulf Council, the Gulf of Mexico Fisheries Management Council meeting is this week, and the Reef Fish Committee is the important one for most of our anglers here, where we're going to discuss this, our council members that represent all of the states, and that's kind of the rulemaking guidance body here in the Gulf. So there's a science and statistical committee that provides some data and some input, and they decide what is the best available science. And so there's going to be this push for this calibration and saying that that's the best available science using the federal data. And I will fight that and say that that is not true, that the states have better data, and we don't need to calibrate it that way, and that we need to wait on this stock assessment to see what the stock looks like. Because at the end of the day, the most important part about this fishery is the stock rebuilding? If it's rebuilding, I'm of the opinion the currency that we're fishing in doesn't matter. We just can't get to the point where it's reducing the stock or causing it not
right.
to grow. So we feel very strongly that we should all stay right about where we are and that the fishing effort is fine. But it's going to be a little bit of a battle, and there are environmental groups out there that disagree, and I understand that, and they have a concern. They're trying to watch out for the fishery, and we are too. That's my number one priority. We look out for the people, but the fishery is the number one.
Well, if we don't have red snapper, right, then we don't have this conversation again. So
okay.
I get that, but I want to get to, gosh, I've got so many questions.
Sure.
Scott, I get back to the currency in a second, but just for people understanding what we're talking about here too, that Magnuson Stevens, part of this is the, like you said, the rebuilding of the stock. Where is the finish line on that? And did Magnuson define any kind of metric for growth year to year, decade to decade? And how do you assess that?
There is, and there's some milestones that are outlined in that rebuilding plan. And as the way we were headed, there's this discussion that we would reach this around 2032, and that's a moving target. And so,
But to what levels? I mean, is it to pre-Columbian levels? Is it 1953?
Yeah.
What level?
That's the concern out there.
And there weren't snapper here like
before.
There are now, when there weren't reefs everywhere.
I mean, you know for sure. I mean, just from what me,
we
you, and
Sean. We probably exceeded pre-Columbian levels now.
I mean, just from me, you, and Sean going fishing, it's the quality of fish and size of fish and amount of fish. I mean, it's just unbelievable how good our fishery
is
here.
Which is So that's the goal line, and I should be able to give that to you straight off the top of my head what the definition of that goal line is. And so I'm taking a step back here, but so we look at, are the things that we're doing helping us reach that goal? So there are a few things that work against us. So we talk pounds all the time, mm-hmm. and I get frustrated with pounds because we are seeing. So Mike, you've been fishing a long time. In 1990. What was the average size fish? Maybe 2 pounds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's so, 2 pounds. Yeah, if you caught a 2-3 pound snapper, man, you're happy. And mm-hmm. every now and then you catch a 10-15 pound or
and
something.
If you brought
every
a 25 pounder in there,
the
register would have met you at the dock.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So now somebody showed me a picture of a 25 pounder yesterday. The 10s and 15s are not uncommon. 20s are fairly regular. And the average for this season was 6.4 pounds. So I get a little frustrated with the pounds because I say, so if you're catching bigger fish, then you're reaching that pounds quota quicker.
Yep.
And so there's an argument that the assessment kind of accounts for that, for the increasing size in pounds. I feel that under the federal assessment that the target, that they keep moving the goal line, because you'll say, well, if you're catching more fish faster, that means that's a problem. Well, if you're catching fewer fish slower, then that's a problem. I said, well, then what side of it is not a problem?
Yeah, I mean, duh.
So that's a little bit of my frustration.
Say pounds versus, okay, I want people to understand that. Your frustration with talking pounds versus fish. And a lot of people will say, well, how many fish can we catch this year? Sean, what were they saying? I said, it's pounds, and you have to put another part in that equation, your average size fish, correct?
Yes. So there's, you know, when I first got in the fisheries world, they say you can't do deer and duck management in the fisheries world. And I said, well, I think you can. And the why we can in Alabama is we have the reef zone, and we have some data that is gathered through the Dauphin Island Sea Lab and the University of South Alabama that gives us this snapshot of the reef zone and what we are seeing out there. We look specifically at great triggerfish, greater amberjack, and red snapper, and lionfish, believe it or not, which have been on the downward trend, so that's a good thing. So we have an idea, and when they look at it, we look at it at pounds and numbers. They literally count fish with an ROV. The studies that we do, and with the long line, what we call the vertical line, the bottom long line, and the trawl surveys, we look at different sizes and weights, and so there's a tremendous amount of data in there. So we actually have a number, and we could equate and say, well, if your number is X, then you can harvest this many. I would love to get it delegated down to where we managed the whole thing, you know, from start to finish in the Alabama Reef Zone, and I think we can do it. I think we have already in place the data collection, and that we could say, let's look at his numbers of fish. How many the deer herd? You don't say, well, you can only catch or shoot, you know,
1,000 pounds of deer on this plant. Yeah.
It's the number of deer.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I know your study is a whole lot better than the federal government's, because the federal government, you went to an actual snapper reef and checked snapper.
We do.
They go to sand bottom just to mark a spot on their map and go and check it, and they don't catch a snapper, and they just say there's no snapper here. And they go to another sand bottom, and they don't catch snapper. So there's no snapper there. You actually go to where the snapper live, and you check them.
We do. So
yes.
In some of the early research that was done, there was some methods that were very similar to what you described. And
yep.
So they are now accepting some of our data to say that, you know, it's a little bit murky because they said, well, you're targeting. Well, this is a randomized program. We don't just go pick honey holes. It's a randomized program that they use.
Yeah, but there's not a the distribution of, I mean, I'm preaching to the man who knows, but I mean, red snapper are not distributed equally across the landscape.
They are not. So it's randomized in the area that's going to go be surveyed, and then the items or the reefs that are inside that area. It's a great program, and when you look at red snapper, so let's go back to deer for just a minute. Do we care what Mississippi's season and Georgia's season is for deer?
Nope.
We know. Why not?
Because it doesn't affect us.
Exactly, because a few deer cross the line. I realize
right.
They don't know where the state line is. A few deer cross the line. I feel very strongly that in the Alabama Reef Zone, those fish are very similar. They are there. They're year-long residents. They're lifelong residents. They blur slightly on the edges, but the rest of the time they stay in the Alabama area. So I would look at that every year and say, you know, I think we can harvest X amount of fish. That's long-term where I think we should be. That is a tough battle to get there. A person mentioned to me last night, they said, how come every time we feel like we make progress in red snapper, where they say, this is going to start making things better, there comes another roadblock? I do feel that way at times. I feel like another roadblock has been thrown in front of us, but I'm a person that believes in overcoming and moving forward, so we're going to develop a path forward through this. We may have to lock it in four-wheel drive, or we may have to get out the climbing gear, But I promise you that the commissioner, Chris Blankenship, is 100% behind the efforts we are doing to move forward in this, and that we're gonna fight to get what's fair and reasonable and what we think is the best available science.
Let's do this. Run to the brink because there's so much more coming right back. More with Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, because we want to talk about this. What happens this coming week, what this could mean, how you can help out. But talk more about that currency thing, too, the currency of reporting red snapper. I think it's interesting. You're like, I just want to talk about catching fish. Yeah. Well, this is the climbing gear, the four-wheel drive he described to get us to that point.
Yep.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. Continue our conversation with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon. You said this during the break, and this is silliness, but I want to throw this in because I've said this before when people start talking about fish versus tonnage and all that. But, Scott, am I wrong that if what we've been doing, and you pointed out from Mike saying your average fish was 2 pounds back in the 90s, and now we're looking at average weight of 6.8. In reality, average probably, you know, 10.
Nine or 10.
So we get penalized. We get through our quota faster because of the size of the fish. So if we continue this management and it goes up and the size of the fish gets so big that the average, we get 1 million pounds of tonnage in the and then the average red snapper weighs 500,000 pounds, we would be done with two fish.
Correct.
Even though, and I realize those who don't understand me, haven't been around me before, I'm being silly on purpose, but to make the point that if doing right has increased the size of the average fish, the overall number of fish in biomass, we get penalized for that.
Yes, and it's, so that's a little bit of a concern I have. And again, there's a little bit of an adjustment factor, so to speak, in the assessment when they put it in the grinder there. But we in Alabama, and actually most of the Gulf Coast, I mean, the other states have worked diligently to develop either reef programs or the survey programs or things that help to rebuild this fishery. We've worked to reduce the bycatch and shrimp trawls. There's about half the number of federally permitted shrimp boats in the Gulf of Mexico that there used to be. So, you know, that has an economic impact from the shrimping world, but it also has an impact to the red snapper fishery because there's not as much bycatch discard that comes from that, mortality that comes from that. They implemented some equipment to help manage that. Their electronics help them. A shrimper doesn't want to go across a reef and one, get snagged, or two, get a load of juvenile fish. There's no money in that for them, so they want to avoid it as well. So there's some awareness. So there's just been so many things done in this fishery to help rebuild it and move it forward, and we feel like we have, and that it is moving forward, and so I'm very frustrated with as you guys can tell that we're still fighting this battle that we thought state management that we were kind of, hey, here we're going to get about X number of pounds every year. We manage it. We try and make our people happy. We try and make sure that the stock is rebuilding. That's the goal. And life is good. And right now, life is not looking good this week because of the administrative battle that's going to go on to determine what's the best science, whose data should we be using, and how do we all come together on this. And all the states have a vested interest in doing that. And I think we'll get there. It's the sausage making starts again. And I'm not excited about that, but I'm willing to do it.
Well, and I'm glad y'all are, but I mean, we're just... Yeah, like you said, it's like two steps forward, three steps back on this. The currency question, and right now, basically, what they're saying, if I'm understanding it correctly, we're playing with a handicap. So if we, you know, you report for number that we caught 100,000 pounds, they're going to say, no, it's actually 250,000.
Right. It translates up in their book.
Yeah. Okay. So that common currency, could we, if they say, well, Florida does this, and Mississippi does this, and Louisiana, what if we made that, we agreed among the Gulf states, whether it's, you know, snapper check or, you know, a combination of us and the Mississippi program or Louisiana, and we had something that we're all speaking the same language, all the states, would that help or do the feds still not care?
Potentially, because then you have, you're quote, speaking the same language or you're all dealing in the same currency. And then the this, what we call calibration. So that calibration number is different for each state. So every state would pretty much take a cut, except Florida. The way their system works, they would actually get a little bit of a bump up, and I have some concerns.
They're going to get more. They're going to get more.
Why?
They would potentially, because their survey shows that they are more aligned with the survey numbers that come from the federal government. It's just, but the fisheries are prosecuted in different manners. It's different numbers of people. I think there's a little bit of survey bias based on the size of your state and the number of surveys that go out. There's some statisticians that have some discussions about that. It's a very, very complicated big picture thing, but that's my concern is, then are you talking about reallocation? If you're saying that potentially they should fish a few more pounds and other states should fish fewer pounds, then are you then going back and reallocating those fish that we had already allocated under Amendment 50?
So, yeah, what happened to our 26%, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So they're saying, well, it's 26%, but we're quote calibrating that 26%, and so it's
so it really ends up the 18%.
Less than that, you know.
Thirteen or fourteen percent. Yeah.
Y'all got 26%, but it really means 13%.
Yes. So when you look at it from that numbers perspective, from where we started with this, that's kind of how that translates down. So we're in, you know, a tough spot, but we've been there before. I will work very closely with our state partners and our federal partners, and we've had some recent meetings. We have a lot of scientists across the Gulf who are kind of scratching their head a little bit, saying we probably need to look at this a little harder. So that's my goal, is that we don't get straight into this calibration allocation. And we get this reduced quota, that we wait a little bit. We let some of these other science folks really look hard at how we're doing these things, what the impacts are, and what does the stock look like after we do an assessment.
You want to wait until you're – it's not like this is a decade ahead. This is not like the next census. This is right around the corner. Wouldn't we want to wait for that piece to – I mean, even if you're the feds and you – ham-fisted with this, you can wait just a little bit for the new information.
Yes, that's what I think we should do. I think we should go ahead and wait. Like I said, the Great Red Snapper count's coming out. Then the stock assessment comes next year, and we get a better view, an updated view of what these... So we really have 3 years of state management since we had the exempted fishing permits for two, and then we've had Amendment 50 in place. So we've been fishing at very similar levels for three straight years, and so I think that has some impact in the assessment and how it looks moving forward, and whether it's this is a sustainable level. And if it's not, then we need to be concerned. But I look at the data that we create in the reef zone. I can't just cheerlead when it's good data and they tell me, Scott, the fishery's looking good in the reef zone. If they come back and they tell me there's some concerns, well, then I have to figure out how we manage for that. So I'm not just looking for upsides of things. We also understand that sometimes there's some downsides, and we have to manage to that. So
you're looking for truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Fed's not going to come and do that. I mean, the states, y'all go out and do that.
We do.
You know, the Fed's not going to come do that. So I don't know where they even get their data from.
It's
to be
a collection of some of the state data, and then some of these. There's some other federal programs that go on, and then these survey data, though, that they use for the collection of the landings, what we call CHTS, the Coastal Household Telephone Survey. So think about that, Household Telephone Survey.
Yeah, y'all run through what that means, so people know what is guiding this.
So they're no longer using that, but that was how they developed the information on what the landings were. They would call random phone numbers and discuss, you know, hey, did you go fishing? How many times? What'd you catch? I will stop my comments there. So then they've gone to this fishing effort survey, which then is a mail-out type survey that shows up in a NOAA weather survey that you would receive at your house, and it has a couple of questions in there. And
stuff that gets thrown in the trash.
Potentially. And so I have some concerns with the way that is, whereas we do landing surveys, like you report, we develop a reporting rate, whether it's a good rate or a bad rate, it's a rate, and it's something that we can put in the metric. And so we think that landings monitoring is much, much better, and that's what makes the ridiculous numbers that are assigned to Alabama for landings under the federal system are not physically possible. So, but they don't look at it as whether it's possible or not possible. They're just saying, well, this is our historical numbers, and we need to calibrate your number to it. Whereas I say, we have more of a real number, so let's figure out how to work with the real number. And Mississippi, who I think has the best program in the Gulf of Mexico, is looking to get cut in half as well. And their reporting rate is in the 90s. They know their fishery is much smaller. It's much more well-defined. Their system is very, very good. I can't wrap my brain around it. I'll tell you that. I'm a pretty simple-minded person. You guys know that. I like big pictures and big buttons. And So yeah,
we're not seeing that. Hey, listen, can you hold on one more segment?
Absolutely. I'll stick another quarter in the jukebox.
Okay, please do, because we got to run to the break and come right back and just get a little bit more on this subject. Obviously, this is going to take a lot more discussion. We'll be talking about it in the next week and after that, after this Gulf Council meeting. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Getting ready to wrap it up on this episode, but I imagine we'll be talking about this subject going forward. We're talking with Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, about the situation. So this week, there's a Gulf Council meeting, right?
There is, and it's a virtual meeting. I'm not the biggest fan of that, but the Gulf Council staff does a really good job of trying to make it as real for folks as possible. But you can go to the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council webpage, and there will be a link, and you can be able to view the council meetings. There's an agenda there to see when topics are coming up and when they come up. And so this one comes up on Tuesday under the Reef Fish Committee. That's where the most discussion is going to occur. There's going to be we're going to see what the SSC, the Science and Statistical Committee, presents, discussing these calibrations, these numbers, and there'll be a vote in committee about whether or not that moves forward. And then Wednesday is public comment day, so if you would like to make a comment regarding any of that, you can log in and make a comment, or you can email the comments. And the council does look at those, and they listen to those. I promise you they do. And then Thursday is what they call the full council meeting, where they have final votes and move things forward. So the important one this week is really that Reef Fish Committee meeting, if people want to tune in at 9 o'clock on Tuesday and see what's going on in that committee and where we go with this this calibration discussion.
Is that the best way to watch that, get informed, and then comment on Wednesday to help? What can Alabama Red Snapper anglers do to help y'all?
If they have the time, log in and listen to the discussions, and then Wednesday provide those comments or email them anytime. You can email comments, and so that would be a way for people to express what they think should happen, whether they think this is a good idea. And naturally, I think you're going to say it's not a good idea. We're going to get reduced by 500,000 or 600,000 pounds of fish. So, but that's an opportunity for people to be heard, and you are heard. I do assure people of that the council members, they will say it oftentimes in discussion. I heard in public comment that people have X feelings or X discussion points. So.
All right. We have got to go. Director Bannon, thank you for your time, and we'll check back with you next week.
No, thank you for the opportunity, guys, and we'll follow up after the meeting, and we'll see what my mood is like then.
Sounds good, Scott. Thank you.
We got to get out of here. Be back next week. Prep Sports Report on the way next.